Over the years, I've had many people ask me to help them to do a better job of hearing God. It's really one of the most important things I think we can learn to do, because our life is full of following God. If we're a good Christian, we want to hear God's voice and obey it. And my answer always starts with pray in tongues, of course, but after that, it always starts with be obedient in the little things. When you think God's telling you to do something, do it. And if you miss it, then that's okay. You know, life's full of many decisions. Some of them are large: who we marry, where we work, what career we take, where we live, how we live, how we give to God. And we want God's involvement with all of those decisions, the big ones and the little ones. But if we don't learn to listen to the little things, we might make some big mistakes in the big things. If I'm going to make a mistake, I want it to be in something little that I can learn from. Much of the world today, the Christian world today, unfortunately, has learned how to serve God, to give God time, to give God things, but they've not really learned how to obey God and walk with Him. See, God wants to be involved with your life. He wants to be embedded in your life. He wants to be involved with all kinds of decisions, with the little things and the big things, not just the how much you give in church, but what you do with your day, what you do with your time. He wants to begin to direct you, and really it's a partnership. It's like a dance where He wants to walk with you and have you follow Him and let Him lead your steps. Many Christians don't want Him leading their steps, but God wants to have a beautiful relationship with us where we trust Him. We learn to not trust ourselves as much as we trust Him. And this is why it's so important to learn to obey in the little things. I remember when I was in Canada, I was a youth pastor. I was 22 at the time. I'd been youth pastoring there for a couple years. And I felt God begin to direct me to move to Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is a good 2,000 miles away from my home in Canada. I couldn't work there. There was no job opportunity. It was to be part of a ministry and to learn more of God. But I felt God leading me down that path. And there was no promise of anything, so it was puzzling to me because I couldn't get a job being Canadian in the United States. I couldn't work. As I was questioning, God, is this you? Because this is a big move. This could cost me a lot if I miss it. And the Lord began to teach me at that time by a vision. He gave me a little vision and helped me to understand how the little things count in following God and trusting God and trying your best to obey that. I believe that if you make a mistake in a little area while you're trying to obey God, that God, even if you miss it, He's there to help fix it. In the big things we make, you know, who we marry and those type of things, what career we take, we want to be able to know and have confidence. I feel the Lord is leading me down this path. Because some paths you take, it's going to be 5 or 6 years before you can really see the fruit of obeying God or not, if you missed it or if you nailed it. So I prefer to listen to God on the little things and develop the ability to know, okay, that's God, that's not God. There's many times I thought I heard God and I did something or said something to someone. I felt the Lord tell me to say something and I totally missed it. I learned, okay, that was Alan. That was my own natural man. That wasn't God. And then there's times where I found out it was God, and that helped me to gain confidence to know this is the path that I have. So much that we learn to trust more in hearing God's voice, more in His wisdom. Because sometimes in obedience, it doesn't include the why. I want you to do this. Why? And He doesn't answer. God, I want you to do this. Or God says, I want you to do this. Why, God? Tell me why, and then I'll do it. And He might say, like a good parent, because I told you so. So many times there's not a download of the reasoning of why God's asking you to do something as much as trust me, obey me, and follow me. Do the things that I tell you to do. It's a beautiful thing to have confidence in knowing God's voice. And there's times where you feel the wisdom of the world or natural wisdom to do something, and you feel the hesitation on the inside. And you begin to trust that direction more than all the wisdom that people have, all the advice that people have, even your own self desires. You begin to feel safer in the will of God than you do in any other place. Because truthfully, there's no safer place to be in except the will of God. So in this vision I had, I was 22, I saw a little boy. This is back in Jesus' day. It was obvious there was a sea by the sea, and the boy lived in a home, and he went to his father and said, I really am wanting, I didn't see what it was, but it was a toy, maybe a toy ship or something, carved with wood. And the dad said, well, that's pretty expensive, son, in the vision. And the boy said, I know. And the dad said, you know, you're at the age where you should be able to earn enough money to buy your own stuff. So the dad went to the uncle and got the boy a job on the side. And the boy worked, I think, for about 2 weeks hard to earn enough money to purchase this toy that he wanted. And this is back in Jesus' day. So now, in the vision, he worked hard with his uncle for a couple of weeks, made enough money. The uncle gave him a coin and said, here, take this coin, go buy your gift. And the boy went running along the seashore, and you can tell he was fighting something. He was on the way to the market to buy the toy that he wanted, the gift that he wanted. As he was running, you could tell he was arguing with himself. And I recognize it because that's many times my problem, where I feel God tell me to do something, and then I begin to argue. I begin to negotiate. And I remember one time I was in the church service, and the preacher was preaching. He wasn't preaching about money or donations or anything, but I felt the Lord tell me, I want you to take your ring off your finger. I wasn't married at the time, so I had a ring that was my high school ring. It was gold. It was from my high school, and it was connecting me to the school that I went to, my graduation from high school. I was very proud of it. I had a rugby on there, and because I played rugby, and it was stamped, and it had my birthstone in it. And I remember the Lord was nudging me during the service. I want you to give that ring. I don't know why he was nudging me. It didn't make sense. I don't know if, you know, maybe he melted down and get some money for it, but not much, not a whole lot, because it was already stamped with my stuff. And so I refused to obey. I didn't obey. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. The reasonings, I don't know all the reasonings, except God saw it important that I give that ring to that man. There could be a million reasons. And so I argued and argued, and all night after the service, the Lord just kept bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. And the preacher wasn't, you know, I wouldn't say a great preacher, but I went back the next night because I knew I missed it. I knew I missed obeying God. I missed my chance to obey God. So I went back the next night to sit through the service and took my ring off and put it in the offering. And that was it. There was a reason for it. But I had to learn how to hear God in the little things. Because in life I made bigger decisions. And thank God that in the bigger decisions I've been able to hear God and be led by God. But you don't wait until the big decision. You develop it in the little decisions. The little things every day, trying your best to hear God. Maybe you're driving down the road and you feel, go this way. That's an extra 2 minutes. But if you feel it might be God, go that way. It's not going to hurt you to find that and to figure that out. The little things are important to develop hearing God in them, so that when big decisions come, you won't miss it. I always tell young ladies when they're dating a guy and he's horrible at the little things. He's never on time. He doesn't open the car door for her. He's not thoughtful in the little things. But yet, once a month, he'll bring flowers or do something extravagant and trying to win her heart. And he tried to describe to them, listen, you'll find the heart of the man in the little things, not in the great big things. It's easy to do one great big thing once a month, but to do the little things that matter, the little steps in a relationship, that's where you really find the character of a boy. Well, that's much like with you and me and with God. He wants us to be faithful in the little things. There's a verse that says that in Luke 16. Let me go there real quick. In Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. So God wants us to be faithful in the little things, so he can trust us with bigger things and more things. And like any relationship, if a girl's picking a guy because he does great, huge things and fancy things, but doesn't do the little things every day, You know, if he's not faithful in the little things, he won't be faithful in the big things. You can fake the big things, but the little things are important, that you learn to listen and obey. And that's the relationship that God's asking of us. Not just to go to church and serve God and be faithful in our giving and faithful in our serving, but to actually spend time with him, to get to know him, to learn to yield, lean, and trust on his voice and his direction, to begin to learn what is God and what isn't God. And mistakes are okay. Don't feel bad about making mistakes as long as you don't hurt people. If you're going to make a mistake, make it on a little thing that doesn't damage anyone. Don't do it on a big thing where you might actually hurt someone or yourself or your future. We want to hear God in the little things. We want to build that beautiful relationship. And as this young man was in the vision was running across the beach on the way to go buy his gift at the market, you can tell he was struggling with something, because as he was running, he stopped. And I understood. It was like when I was trying to not give that ring away. God was speaking to this boy in the vision. I want you to take that coin that your uncle gave you, and I want you to throw it into the sea and into the water. And he looked at the coin and didn't make sense to him. Why would God ask me to throw my coin in the water? What good is that? Why would he have me do that? It's much like, why would I give my ring away to someone who's not from that, even that country that I went to high school in? What would he want with that ring? What could he do with it? It wasn't about him. It was about me. And so the boy struggled. He looked at the coin and he said, nope. And he started to run again down the beach, getting more excited about something he was going to buy. And then he stopped again. And I think he did it probably 3 times. He ran and stopped. And much time, like with me, if I spend too much time negotiating with God, I'll eventually talk myself out of obeying what he's telling me to do. On the 3rd time, this boy stopped. He looked at the coin. And before he could overthink it, he took the coin and he brought his arm back and he pushed through it into the water there. And you watched the coin skip. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then plunk, into the water it went. And he did not have a coin. Now the very thing he worked for to get, he didn't have. The coin was gone, but inside he felt that great satisfaction of hearing God's voice, that peace that comes. I'll tell you, there's times where I've missed it, where God's told me to do something little and I disobeyed because I thought it was insignificant or I didn't like it. It was out of my way to do something small. But I felt bad after. Not bad, like horrible, but I felt like I missed it. And I don't want to miss it. I don't ever want to miss it with God. But to not miss it with God, we have to be willing to obey and listen. Otherwise, we will miss it. And those times when I feel so peaceful and warm and connected to him because I obeyed in little things. There's many times when God tells me to do something, the only reason I do it is because I don't want to feel bad or out of sorts. I want to feel good and connected to him. Sometimes it's just for that I obey God in the little things. Because the little things usually cost you, but you don't see the fruit of it for a while. But I want to be clear that always when you obey God, a miracle happens. Always. When you obey God, every little time, let's put some significance on obeying God. That the little things are huge and significant, because anytime God tells you to do something and you do it, there's for a reason. It's not just to make you suffer. There's a reason for it. And when God tells you to do something and you do it, a miracle happens. A miracle always, always, always happens when you are faithful to listen to God in the little things. And trust me, if you continue to be faithful in listening and obeying in the little things, you're proven to yourself that I refuse to disobey when I know it's God or feel it's God. And you're proven to God that you're willing to obey him. He'll trust you with more things and more important things in your future. So learning to obey in the little things is so important, because the moment we disconnect from God because we don't agree, we don't like it. I've heard many testimonies over the years, some myself, where God would tell someone, I want you to forgive that person. And you think, well, I don't want to forgive that person. And so you still have to obey. And so many people, the moment you say, I don't agree, I refuse to do it. The moment you start to establish your relationship with God where you give yourself the right to disconnect when you don't agree, disconnect when you're tired, disconnect when it doesn't seem to suit you or it puts you out for a day or two or out of money. The moment you give yourself the right to disconnect, then you start to build a relationship with God where you're not obligated to obey. And that's not what we want. We want to have in our own self, because the part of us that doesn't want to obey is really our flesh, our outward man. We want to obey, but in that struggle, we can think it's us and disobey God. And sometimes we justify it because it doesn't make sense. I don't know anyone else who did that. Why would I do that? All those things that come to mind when we're trying to follow God. Whatever it is, if you use it as justification, not that you missed it. Missing it is different. But when you choose, I feel God's telling me to do something and I'm refusing to obey it, I'm choosing to build a relationship with God at that moment where I'm in charge. I'll only give him what I agree to. I'll only give to him when I want to do it. But if you ever ask me to do something, it's like when you're a leader. If you're ever a leader of a business or a team or a church or anything, you're in front of people, people can express emotions with their faces. They can make you suffer. Like if you're the leader and you say, I need you to do this, and they don't like it, then sometimes people will make you suffer. They'll either huff and puff, okay, fine, I'll do it if you ask me to, if you really want me to do it. And then they're mean to you later on. They give you the cold shoulder. They don't talk to you. They talk bad about you behind your back. All the things people react when they're told to do something they may not like to do. What they're doing by those actions are they're trying to train you as the leader. And they're saying, listen, anytime you ask me to do something that I don't like, I'm going to huff and puff, talk about you bad behind your back. I'm going to drag my feet, go slow. I'm going to not talk to you. I'm going to treat you bad. They're trying to train you. And they're saying, anytime you ask me to do something I don't like, I'm going to make you suffer. Well, we can be like that with God. God, every time you make me tell me to do something I don't like or I don't agree to, then I'm going to drag my feet. I'm going to get cold towards you. I'm going to refuse to do it. It's so important that we learn to walk with God, not just in our service, not just in our time, but in our obedience. Wherever we think he's speaking to us, we will obey. Many people want to have that with prophecies when they speak to people. But to be honest with you, that's the easy part. The hard part is every day the openness and willingness and the relationship where you need his voice, you need his direction, because you want to see miracles happen in your day. And every little time, every small moment of obedience that you do, it might be as much as, hey, I want you to pray for someone. I want you to send someone a gift. I want you to text someone. I can't tell you how many times I thought, hey, I should text that person, and I don't. And then an hour later, they text me, hey, I haven't talked to you for a while. I thought, oh, man, that was God. And I missed it because I thought I'd wait for a more convenient time. Nowadays, if I feel the need to text someone or say hi to someone, I just do it right then because I feel maybe that's God. Too bad on me that person texted me first after we haven't talked for a long time. I could have been the one to text him first and got credit for it. Now they get all the credit because I didn't listen to God when he gave me that little unction to obey him. Miracles happen. You may never see it, but I'm telling you, miracles happen whenever you obey God. And he was teaching me this when I was about to make a big decision to leave the place in ministry where I was as a youth pastor. I had a home to leave that, my friends, my family, and to move to Tennessee, a whole different culture, a whole different country, away 2,000 miles away from my family, my friends, with nothing, no job, nothing. It was a big decision, but he was teaching me the little things help you to get to the big things. And little decisions that you make, they're so important. They always produce a miracle. In John chapter 15, I'm just going to read verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Here's Jesus talking to the disciples. I'm just cherry picking that verse there. But he says to them basically, you're my friends if You do what I ask you, what I tell you, what I command you. And that's part of the relationship with God that you and I have to get used to. I believe God is my Father. He loves me. He's kind. He's gentle. He is a loving Father. He's a good, good Father. And I love the song that says, I am a friend of God. And many of us have sung that, I am a friend of God. It's a beautiful song. But if we take it by scripture, we'd have to add, I am a friend of God if I do what he asked me to do. So he's not only your father that loves you. He's not only your friend that wants to see you succeed. He's also God. And he wants our commitment to obey him when he asks us to do things. This is part of our relationship that is so singular for God. It's not for your spouse. You're not to obey your spouse. You're not to obey your boss. You can submit. Submission is different than obey. I'll submit to you if you're asking me to do something that God's telling me is okay. But if you ask me to do something that is against what God's word says, I'm not going to obey you. So we submit to different things in our life. Teachers, if we're in school, in marriage, there's submission one to another. In a business, if you submit to your boss, in all things, in all of our life. But with God, it's obedience. He knows you're ready, even if you think you're not ready. Oh, I'm not ready for that, God. Good idea, God, but I'm not ready for that yet. No, if he says gives you a job or something to do, then you're ready. Even if you don't think so, he thinks so, and you're going to have to face that fear. The little things that he speaks to you, the little things throughout the day, they produce such incredible miracles in your life and other people's life. We're a friend of God if, verse 14, if you are my friend, if you do whatever I command you. So God likes to be able to boss you around. And that's a relationship you have to get used to. If you're prideful and think, I just want to serve God when I want to, you're building an unhealthy relationship on your end of the deal. You're only allowing God to speak to you in areas that you want him to. And then if you are going to obey the little areas, you're going to make him miserable. You're going to try to make him suffer because him or anyone else around you, because you don't like what he's telling you to do. I don't always like what he tells me to do, but I trust him enough that there's a good reason for it. So many miracles have happened in my life. So many great, great, incredible things in my life because I have in me the desire to obey God no matter what. I have not given myself the ability. I'm not saying I haven't failed. I've failed many times. But I have removed the ability of mine, the right. I've given it to God, the right for me to stop, the right for me to change course. I don't like it here. I don't like what's going on. I'm not getting enough. I'm not happy enough. I'm changing course. The moment we do that and fix our life in the way we want it, we're building an unhealthy relationship with God, undeveloped relationship with God. But because I don't give myself the right to say no to God, it's brought so many incredible things in my life. And so in those moments where I don't understand, or even I don't agree, but I believe it's him, he's proved himself to be faithful and knowledgeable so many times that I only feel safe when I know I'm in his will. Nothing can be offered to me, I believe at this moment, that will take me out of his will, because that's the only place I feel safe. Anything outside of that, I feel awkward, I feel unsafe, unbalanced. But in his will, no matter what the circumstances are, if I'm in his will, I have confidence. I have confidence that I'm going to walk in all the promises of God as long as I stay in his will. And that's developed in the little things. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And I really just want to encourage you to trust that God's speaking to you. To trust that he's talking. Some people say, God's never speaking to me. I say, yeah. No, he talks a lot. He's always talking. You just don't hear him. But you will if you don't quit. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep pressing in. Keep worshiping. Keep spending time with him. And then when you feel something, even if it's something silly, if you feel something, something that may seem insignificant, if you feel something, try it. Test it. I've had times where I felt God tell me, I want you to say this to this person. So I would go say it to them, and I missed it. I mean, something specific. You know, I see, and I was trying to hear God so bad, too bad, but it was more for ministry purposes. And I said, I feel God telling me that your dad died. And they look at me and go, no, my dad's right over there. It's like, oh, I missed it. So you apologize, and I've learned how to, okay, that's not God. Even though it felt right, it felt good, but at least I tried. Again, we don't want to try when we hurt people. We want to try when in the little things, we want to learn to listen. So when you feel something, try it and learn to say in your heart, to come to that place in your heart where you say, God, whatever you tell me to do, big, small, huge, little, expensive, cheap, I will do it. One time he asked me to give $5 to a multimillionaire. I had no idea why. It didn't make sense. I remember arguing with God. I didn't have much money. I had a hole in my shoes at the time. And my last $5 he wanted me to give to a multimillionaire. And I said, God, he doesn't need this $5. This is like penny to him. Why would I give my last $5 to this multimillionaire? He didn't tell me why. He just kept bothering me until I did it. I finally did it. And maybe he's saying, God, I just wish someone would quit asking me for money and give me money. Maybe he said, God, if it's really you to make this decision, someone will give me $5 today. Who knows why? God knows why. It might have been just for me. But I will tell you this, that after I obeyed, I felt that peace of obedience. And I was thankful. That was him telling me, you did good, son. Good job. That's the place where you want to live, where you feel that every day. Even when circumstances are telling you differently, when the world's telling you differently, you have that peace of God in you that says, well done, son, daughter. Good job. You obeyed. That's the peace that we want to live in, and that's in the little things. And a miracle always happens. Here's a story. I'm going to just skim through it for time's sake. And you've heard this before. It's the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to see something about obedience here. And I'll read through it quickly, but please stay with me and follow through, because it's important that we understand that if we're faithful in the little, he'll trust us with more. But if we're not faithful in the little things, how can he trust us with more? Don't be that Christian who forces God to come to you on your terms. God, I only accept you when it's something that I am excited about. There's times God will ask you to do some things that you're not excited about, and he still wants you to obey. So Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one of them he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and another 1, each one according to his ability. I'm going to pause here because this talent is not like singing talent or playing piano talent. This is basically 5 coins. This is money. And he's asking them to steward his money. And then he tells them, and then he who received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servant came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. And then verse 21, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Again, this is not talking about singing. I know some preachers might say, if you don't use your talent for God, he'll take it away from you. This is talking about stewardship of finances. But in obeying God. And so in obeying God, this is what I want to, the concept I want to get out of these verses. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who'd received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where I have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. This is me when I'm having a hard time obeying God. This is my thinking. I don't like it. I'm afraid. And then I begin to come up with my outward man begins to come up with a justification of why I'm missing it, why it's not God, how could it be God, why take the time, it's silly, doesn't make sense. And this was this man's mindset. He was had the ability not to obey his master. And so he came up with his excuses of why he wasn't obeying him. I was afraid. You're a hard man. A hard man meaning if I lost it because I tried to listen to you, then you would be hard on me. And so I'd rather just hold on to it and not try anything so that I don't have to disappoint you. God wants you to do your best to follow him. He's proud when we try to follow him in the little things, even when we miss him. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I give it back to you. And I was okay with not obeying you as long as you weren't mad at me. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bankers, and at least I would have got some interest. It's not healthy for us to build a relationship with God where we don't make ourselves obey God when he speaks to us. It's not a good thing. I had one time I was leading at the Bible college in Tennessee, and there was a student. He was a insecure guy, very, very large. He had a weight problem, like a very massive weight problem. I remember he was a good guy. He's passed away since then, but it's been a friend for many, many years. And this was before we were friends. And I remember I walked by him as he walked on the sidewalk. And I felt the Lord tell me as I passed him. Because I passed him and he had a really strong body odor. And I was embarrassed for him. And I felt embarrassed because it was really strong. And just a young guy. I mean, most young guys that age have body odor anyway. And so at that age, when they're 18, 19, you kind of have to, as a pastor, you got to teach them how to make their bed and clean the room and that kind of thing. They want to be preachers and men of God and women of God to change the world, but first they got to learn how to make the bed and clean the room and do their laundry and shower. Well, unlike, you know, many other young men, this one, I noticed he had body odor at the time, and I felt for him as I got to my car, was ready to drive home. Before I put it into gear, I felt the Lord tell me, I want you to go, and I want you to go talk to that young man and see if you can help him with his body odor. I thought, God, that's embarrassing. I don't want to do that. That's embarrassing for him. He's just a young guy. I mean, you want me to talk to all the young guys? There's 20 of them right here that smell. Smells like a gym locker. And I remember arguing with God. I don't like that. I don't agree. That's not God. That's got to be me. That can't be right. And so I put my car in drive and drove off. And I was halfway home when the Lord was arguing with me and discussing things with me. Here's what he said. Son, if you won't listen to me in this, how will I ever trust you to do bigger things? You want to be in ministry? I mean, he didn't say this last part exactly, but you know, you want to be in ministry and called and used to me, but you won't obey me in the little things? And that's what he told me, was if you won't obey me in this, how can I trust you to obey me in bigger things? So I regretfully turned the car around and unhappily drove back to the church, hoping to catch this guy before he left. And I found him there. There he was. And I remember I talked to him. I said, hey, I just want to talk to you about something. And he was a good young guy. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I have to ask you something. I'm a little embarrassed, but I didn't say, the Lord told me to tell you. That's kind of a cop-out many people use. I just said, I just want to talk to you about something. I said, I noticed when I walked by that your body odor was really strong. And I understand that we have to all learn how to manage that as young men. And I said, is there anything I can do to help you? Is there something, you know, because he was extremely overweight. And I didn't know if he fit in a tub or a shower or how he took care of himself. And he told me, he said, oh, Pastor Al, thank you for talking to me. He goes, I'm not embarrassed at all. I understand. He said, I shower every day. You know, but the problem is the clothes and different things. And so we got to talk and it was embarrassing. I can't tell you of anything that super happened out of that, except a miracle did happen. I gained a friend and he trusted me his whole life. He kept in contact with me for years and years and years after, until he passed away. And who knows how important that was in his life from God. But God knew, and I had to obey him. So sometimes it's embarrassing to follow God. You don't know why or what the reasoning is, but God does. You may not think you're ready. You may not know why. It doesn't make sense. A miracle is always, always produced when we follow God. Let's go over to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Here's Jesus and Peter. Good old Peter. We love Peter. Matthew chapter 17. I want to learn today to be okay to try to listen to God in little things and do your best to listen to God, even in the little things when you're not sure. Maybe you're putting your socks on and he says, hey, let's go with blue socks. Okay, try. Don't be afraid in the little things to follow God, to obey God. And a miracle always happens when you obey God. You develop a beautiful, beautiful relationship. The moment you make a decision, and then as you continue to obey that decision, then you begin to develop the intimacy with God where you say, I'll never say no to you, God. If I know it's you, I'll never say no to you. If I think it's you, I'll never say no to you. That's a beautiful walk with God that you want to have. And it'll bring so much blessings and fruit of maturity in your life and in your calling just by that one thing, the willingness to put away the right to say no to God. Again, many Christians live their whole life with God and never really come to the point where they even know that's a decision, because they developed a walk with God where they make him suffer. They pitch a fit every time they have to do something they don't like, or they don't even give God the option to speak to them in their day-to-day life. They just live by good standards. I'm a good person. The word says to be a good person, to, in a sense, and live morally and give to the church and give my time to the poor. So I do all those things. That's how I serve God. Well, that's so shallow compared to I'm with him every day. I listen to him every day. I open my heart up every moment of every day for him to step in and say, hey, I need you to do something. I want you to do something. I remember some people, they get offended at a church and they walk away. They're unhappy in a job and they walk away. And they develop a life where they walk away when they don't like what's going on, when they don't necessarily agree with it, they're not being satisfied, they're not being happy or rewarded enough. But in God, he can lead you to where you're a martyr, where he asks you, I want you to go to this place and be martyred for me, lay your life down. Well, that's not going to make me happy, God. I'm not going to do it. You know, so to get to, so many people talk about it, but to really live it, to really live obedience, isn't about hearing God to preach to other people, hearing God to prophesy to other people. The most important thing about hearing God is that you develop a beautiful relationship where every day he can do multiple, multiple things in your life for your future, for your growth. A miracle always happens when you obey God. Let's keep listening and obeying. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. I'll start in verse 22. And while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were extremely sorrowful. When they come to Capernaum, verse 24, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. So Jesus now says, we really don't need to pay this tax. We're free from that. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. Now, that's an interesting turn of events. Telling a fisherman to go catch a fish when they're talking about the need for money to pay a tax. But he says, Jesus says, so as they're discussing paying the tax, nevertheless, we're going to pay it so we don't offend them. Go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. So can you imagine how important this miracle was in Peter's life? There's so much into this one story that the fisherman is to go catch the fish, but not to eat it, not to sell it, but to find the money in its mouth, a miracle, a sign and a wonder that Peter needed to see. Who knows what this instilled in the Peter for his future? 40 years, 30 years down the road, however long it was that Peter lived, all those years down the road of serving God and learning from Jesus how to obey God and listen to God and trust God even in the impossible. I'm sure they could have sold something, or they may even have the money available to pay this tax, because it wasn't a huge amount of money. But Jesus wanted him to see a miracle. The little things always produce a miracle. Peter did it, and I'm sure it did something incredible in his heart to see this happen. The question then comes is, where did that coin come from, that money? Did an angel make it just out of the blue? Here it is. It's possible. God can make money. You know, he's never dropped money from heaven out of the, right into my hand. But I don't put that, he could do that. He's God. But it's possible that God saw this opportunity to teach Peter a miracle. And so he asked the little boy with his only coin that he had earned to stop by the sea and to take it and skip it into the ocean and let it go. And that little coin that he threw into the sea produced an incredible miracle for the man of God who was going to touch the world. We don't know the reasons why God tells us to do the little things, but it's those little things that produce the biggest miracles. It's those little things that help you to hear God. It's those little things that build that intimate relationship with God so that so many decisions that we make, we know when we're safe because we feel his presence. We know when we're out of his will. We know when we're wandering away, and it brings a beautiful trust in him. The little boy, is it possible? This is from a vision I had, so I'm not preaching this as gospel. But it's possible that a little boy, even God gave him the desire to walk through that to get a toy. He earned it. He took the coin out of obedience and finally skipped it into the water so the fish can capture it. And Peter can catch the fish. If he did that, maybe the little boy was given a bigger gift. Maybe he's given a whole fishing fleet when he was older. I don't know. But a miracle always happens when we obey God. I want to encourage you today. You are not insignificant to God. Your calling is not tiny. God is in love with you as much as anyone else. He's pleased with you and proud of you as much as anyone else. Your calling is as important to him as anyone else's. He wants to walk with us, talk with us, fellowship with us every day. Don't make it a religious thing where I give God this much time. And then that's it. I put my time in God. I hope you're happy. Let yourself develop that beautiful walk where you walk with him every day. And there'll be multiple times in the day where you don't even know you're hearing God. You don't even know it's following God. There's been countless miracles in my life where I didn't even know I was following God. I was just following that peace inside of me. When we're hungry for food and I want a certain, go to a certain restaurant, and then we happen across someone who needed us at that moment, how did I end up there? I didn't hear God say, go to this restaurant, but I was following that peace inside without knowing it. Many times, when you drive, the road you take, your timing of many things, calling someone to say hi, so many things in your life every day produce miracle after miracle after miracle that are changing your life and other people's life. Let's be faithful in the little things. Let's obey in the little things. And if you make a mistake, learn from it. Ask forgiveness and learn from it. At least you're trying to obey God and acknowledge, okay, that wasn't God. I thought to go to this restaurant because I felt God was telling me, choose that restaurant for lunch today. And I went there and it was closed. Huh. No, that couldn't be God because it was closed. He knew it was closed. Okay, so you missed it. You were trying. It's okay, but you're building that beautiful trust with God. It's a beautiful, peaceful trust that when you come to big decisions with shiny lights and opportunities, but you feel that if you step into it, it's taking you away from that peace, well, that's powerful. That protects you from making mistakes. Learning to listen in the little and obey in the little, it's a beautiful thing to follow God, to hear God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Every time you obey, a miracle is happening in your life and others' lives. God bless you. Let's continue to change the world and believe that God loves us. Amen.